You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Hey, everyone. This is Jody Sweetin from the podcast How Rude, Tanneritos. I've been needing a quick getaway with my family, and the 2024 Hyundai Santa Fe is the perfect vehicle to take us there. It has standard third row seating, so I'm able to pack my entire family, plus pets in the car, while also having enough room for our camping essentials. Available H-Track all-wheel drive will get us through any dirt trails, and available dual wireless charging pads will ensure we never have to worry about getting stuck with a dead phone in the middle of nowhere. Visit HyundaiUSA.com. or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
The Around the NFL podcast has too many red flags to be a first-round pick.
From the Chris Wessling podcast studio, it's Around the NFL 2023 NFL Draft Round 1 edition. I'm Dan Hanzus, Greg Rosenthal, Mark Sessler. Woo-wee. It is coming up on 10 o'clock Pacific time as we record this. Just finished a nearly four-hour live stream, shot up to the Chris Wessling podcast studio boys, and now we're going to go through it all, round one, and all the excitement and surprises during the picks, the 31 picks.
We're a little
nailed it.
We're a little loopy potentially, but I would say
that's what I was looking for.
Therein, we've never put out anywhere close to this amount of content on day one of the draft, and I had a great time with you guys.
It was a lot of fun. People can still, if you're a true diehard, and if you're listening to this, you may or may not be. It's up on our YouTube channel, the Around the NFL podcast YouTube channel. It'll be there forever. So you can see us lose our minds in the heat, and you can see us react as history was being made. Anthony Richardson going to the Seahawks, but more importantly, us doing a live stream together and Jessica being featured prominently.
Yeah. Well, anytime you can do a live stream where you have Jessica featured prominently, you have a huge personal announcement, which go check out the stream. I won't even tell you.
We got a lot of football. We got a lot to talk about.
Right.
During that stream, you could turn the temperature up in the room to about 120 degrees. And watch us melt in real time. I mean, that alone.
Who said this podcast doesn't have sex appeal?
Exactly. So check out the stream. We were happy. It was an experiment that we're happy with. And now we turn our attention to round one. And it was the big storylines, boys. Bryce Young, not a big story, although it is the big pick. Number one overall. The number two pick. And we have sandwich props. We'll get to that on Saturday. But all the talk about the Houston Texans moving out of that spot, maybe not taking a quarterback. Why don't we start there? Let's start with some quarterback talk, going right through with what the Colts then did at four. But let's start, Mark, with C.J. Stroud going to the Texans at two. How surprised were you that that happened?
I was, because I felt like there was this sort of impact, critical mass impact of like the Texans are going to go somewhere else with that number two pick. And there wasn't a lot linking them to C.J. Stroud. You know, C.J. Stroud, I think, took a lot of damaging PR over the last couple of weeks. And he
for what, too? Stupid.
I think it's different compared to what teams maybe think about these players. But for all of us, it was this S2 test and everything else about him. The Texans instead went and got their quarterback. And, I mean, just watching C.J. Stroud's tape, I love the way he throws the football. I think it changes everything for the Texans, who, had they gone down the road with Davis Mills as their quarterback next season, it's like you didn't complete the test.
Like, good job by Jeremiah sticking with Stroud on his mock, and I think he even had the trade for Anderson right, which is crazy, because it made too much sense. And that's what when I say for what, I mean all this honking for what. Mm-hmm. I give the Texans credit. I think what happened was there was a draft information vacuum, and just people just started filling in the vacuum of things that they were hearing, and it was all probably nonsense. And it's interesting, and I do think we should talk Young a little bit, because we haven't talked specifically that combination. But you're right, the draft felt like it started at two. And it's interesting to think of all that S2 talk, Dan, because the offense that the Texans are going to run, Bobby Slowick, who they brought over from San Francisco, the one thing that Kyle Shanahan wants more than anything is just processing. It's why he always wants these guys like Kirk Cousins and Brock Purdy that are kind of just like, I can answer the test, 1 to 2 to 3. So what if I don't make like huge game-breaking plays and improvise on my own? And the S2 test, in theory, was supposed to be testing processing. So they didn't care about that. They cared about the tape. And what they saw on tape was a guy who was extremely accurate, who takes coaching really well. And maybe he's not as exciting athletically as Bryce Young or Anthony Richardson, but he feels like a quarterback where his floor, or where I see him as, is like a Derek Carr, Kirk Cousins type of quarterback at worst. And I think he's a even more talented thrower, and he has a higher upside. So it's just interesting. They didn't care about the S2 test whatsoever. That's the quarterback they chose.
They didn't care, but like Brock Purdy, for instance, like led everyone in the S2 test a year ago. And we saw what happened to him on the field. It is a case study to me, though, and I know these late season meaningless games, that win over the Colts allowed Carolina, after their trade, to go decide which quarterback they wanted, and the Texans they took C.J. Stroud, but would they have it number one? I don't think so.
But who knows?
We don't know.
C.J. Stroud could turn into a superstar, and Bryce Young can't play or can't stay in the field. So it's so early, and just like the Panthers are saying, we don't care about the S2 test. Well, if he's a terrible pro, and part of the problem is the mental game is what he struggles with, then we'll see.
Yeah.
So right now, this is why the draft is so fun and such a great fan event, is because it's hope season, it's optimism, it's the idea that all these guys are going to hit. And, you know, I have to say, like, when you see, going back to Bryce Young as the number one overall pick, and the same thing happened with the Jets. When Bryce Young, when the trade goes down weeks ago, and it's like, oh, man, the Panthers got fleeced. I can't believe they gave up so much. Well, what do you think about the trade now? When you see this team as excited as it is, as this guy comes out on the stage and hugs Rog, and they hold up the jersey, and you know the Panthers feel like they are now moving forward again. Same thing with Rodgers and the Jets. Did the Jets give up too much? Well, go check out that building and the energy at Florham Park as Rodgers was introduced. It doesn't hurt as much. So I really do. I think that both of these teams are loving the fresh start. In a different world, should the Texans be drafting number one? Sure, but I think they have to process that if they haven't already. I think they probably have. Us as football fans, we haven't, maybe, because
right,
it was so wild how that played out.
Well, even weeks ago, they were desperately trying to draft Bryce Young. So that is why you can at least question the process. In the end, it might work out better that they have Stroud, and we'll get to Will Anderson. But the reporting that came out on Thursday from Jay Glazer specifically about how close the Texans were to making that deal happen, and they got a little indecisive at the end, that initially Carolina thought that they were going to trade up with Chicago at two. Chicago thought they were going to trade down from 1 to 2. Presumably, the Texans were ready to take Bryce Young, and then Carolina was going to move up from 9 to 2. Who knows who they would have taken at two? We've heard some scuttlebutt it would have been Anthony Richardson, actually, at two. But Texans get a little indecisive, and they must have at some point decided, it's okay, we love Stroud this much anyways, and maybe we can now use some of the picks that we didn't end up making in that trade, the number 12 pick, use that as a resource to get all the way back up to number 3, and we'll see which works out. But it's just a reminder not to trust all these draft reports coming up.
Young turns into a super-duper star. Yes, it hurt giving up DJ Moore, but if that's what ended up getting them over the hump to get that pick and make this happen, it will be looked at as one of the great decisions in franchise history.
Yeah, I mean, it's not a, you know, Peyton Manning Ryan Leaf scenario. It's just that I just think if you first of all, the Texans to turn around and get Will Anderson the way they did at number three makes the night extremely successful, because that's who I thought they were going to go get and then be without a quarterback or have to get one down at 12. They were very savvy in the way they pulled off this night, and it's kind of a rarity. I mean, I don't think of the Texans that way and haven't for the past couple of years because they've been lost in their own wilderness.
They've been
this
not
is a game
even
changer.
A competitive organization for 2 years, and now they have something where it's like, look, they think they're going to compete this year. I think they should, and Will Anderson was a great pick. I do, just before we wrap on Young, because we haven't hit it too much, I think he's entering a better situation than most number one picks. Partly because they weren't that bad a team last year. They have a really good defense, I think. And they have a good coach in Frank Reich, who I think is perfect for a young quarterback. And they have a good offensive line. They don't have great weapons around them. And that's like the next thing. And they'll, I'm sure, add in the draft. And they had to give up some picks. So it's not perfect. But compared to most number one overall picks, like, I think he's entering a nice situation. And our favorite Panthers fan in the building, David Ealy, did release a statement upon this draft pick. Quote, we
and
love...
For people that don't know David Ealy, or remember,
yes,
David Ealy was the number one Cam stan. He's a guy that he grew up in North Carolina. He famously had a bottle of champagne that he was going to drink with his, I believe, his then-girlfriend after a Super Bowl 50 win over the Broncos. It's close enough to the story.
He brought it to work. Yeah.
He ended up drinking the bottle alone in a hot tub. The girlfriend was out of the picture as well by that point.
I think she had been out of the picture for about a half a decade. I mean, I don't think that
But he was still thinking about it.
Sure. Yeah, like, mentally, she was still in the picture.
Anyway, the statement from Dave.
Quote, we love our short king QB. Keep pounding.
And so that's smart.
Short and simple. David, like myself, not a large man. And yeah, we're looking to Bryce Young to really represent the short guys out there, although he's really not that short. I mean, he's 5'10 and a half. For NFL players, he's short.
And we had David Carr on our live stream, and I asked him about like the Bryce Young height situation, just another quarterback, what he would think. And he thought it came out really strongly, saying in today's NFL, not concerned about it, that it's there's some misconceptions about what it would actually hold him back from doing.
I hear that a lot, and it's all good. Stay positive. 5'10", 204 is his listed weight. He's got to be
able
to take a pounding.
He's really like 190. Yeah. That's the bigger concern, but he did take a pounding last year. It's a fair point to make that he got hit a lot in the SEC, and he was okay.
So, keep pounding.
Yeah. It's well done. Great digger.
I didn't hear anything, actually.
Oh, no?
Now you have to do it and do the bit again. And that's going to hurt.
Keep pounding.
There we go.
Magical.
Wow, we got the same crew here for the show.
Everyone's a little loopy.
Everyone's doing double duty back there. Kendall's here. Eric's here. It's all happening.
We've all lost roughly individually 6 to 7 pounds each because it was roughly the duplicate temperatures of Iraq in the studio that we were doing.
It was a live stream, but also a fat farm, and it was really enjoyable to shake some of the weight.
Can I just read the terms that that they gave up for Will Anderson, because it is worth noting that they traded a first round pick next year. Now I lost it here. A first and a third next year. So they gave up an incredible amount. They gave up the 12th pick, they gave up the 33rd pick. The Cardinals ended up moving back up from the 12, and then a first and a third rounder in 2024. So they really gave up a quarterback type of haul. Like, even though it was from 12 to 3 and they didn't take a quarterback, they basically paid for a quarterback. They paid a lot for Will Anderson. It's just pointing out. And a third next year.
But they got, I think in another world, you get one guy to build around. I know they had that 12th pick too, but in theory, it was going to be quarterback or Will Anderson. They got both, and you kind of did 2 years draft work in one if they both work out.
The Texans' defense was not good last year, at least statistically. 27th in points allowed, 30th in total defense, one of the worst run defenses ever statistically, allowed the sixth most rushing yards for a single season. So this is an area of need.
Anderson, great.
Here he comes.
Yep. Great run stopper, very tough. I'm glad he ended up going ahead of Tyree Wilson, although I did lose sandwiches on that, so I'm not that glad. But he just made more sense as a guy that was outrageously productive, and it would have been maybe outsmarting yourself to take someone else ahead of him. And so he's also the type of guy, it kind of reminds me of when the Raiders took Cleveland Farrell, and that was a terrible pick, and people were like, what is happening? But the whole thing was like, well, this is a guy who the way he is as a human, like, that's
don't
who we
this
want
is a guy I'm,
to
yeah,
represent
never
us.
A good sign.
And that was Mayock's first pick. Mm-hmm. Whereas now it's the D'Amico Ryans era. Everyone says this about Will Anderson, that he's like the best leader if you want to be one type of person. But oh, by the way, he's also like the most productive pass rusher of the last 5 years.
Just as a side note, an asterisk here, this also essentially sealed my mock draft victory over our producer.
Oh, snap! Gravedigger in the grave.
I mean, it's not a. I'm not trying to sling an arrow at you.
His body's
on him.
Not trying to drop a bomb on you, but it was
Justin's body
a strange
is still
turn of events.
Like kind of moving. He's got some like post mortem, like rigor mortis happening.
Yeah,
and you're just throwing the dirt on him. So you're it's over, baby. It wasn't a thing of beauty. I think you got 6 picks right, and he got 5. Is that correct?
Something like that, or we both got 5, but he nailed the correct spot.
Yes, we had a scoring
except
system.
Except about 20 minutes into it, it looked like we were both totally on fire, and then it went about as cold case as possible.
The final score was 13-12, and I believe it was 13-12 at about pick 15 or 16, and then it just held. It turned
14,
into a real.
Yeah, Broderick Jones was the last correct pick.
Mm-hmm. It turned into a real defensive struggle down the stretch. But Mark, congratulations on getting back your mock crown.
Thank you, and we'll have a decisive third match next year, barring what up, biatch. Earth-based disaster.
Let's move to the fourth pick, and let's stick with a big – you know, I was kind of relieved, I got to be honest with you, about Anthony Richardson coming off the board early because you know how it is. And, Greg, you were among the chorus, but it's not a personal slight. Certain players, like football Twitter, get so, like, excited that I could feel, like, the anger if Anthony Richardson would have slid. People would have been furious because so many people had fallen in love with Richardson during this process. So when he went to the Colts at 4, I was like, okay, I don't have to deal with those takes.
It was a surprise. At least, I mean, it was to me. I really thought he wasn't going to get past 5 with Seattle, maybe not 6 with Detroit. And there was some whispers that was the case. There was a strong feeling he was going to go high, but maybe it was the Colts all along. I give them credit for not giving that away in any way. A couple hours before the draft, Will Levis, who did not get drafted on Thursday, will have to wait till Friday.
Rough. He was in the room too, the
right.
draft room.
Biggest surprise, I would say, of the night overall was minus 400. In betting parlance, he was 4 times more likely to go number 4 overall than not. And yet, he didn't even get taken in the first round. So, for some reason, he was this heavy favorite to go there. There was all this chatter all along that it was Levis and Colts, Levis and Colts, and Levis and Colts. And this might have been a smokescreen that was intentional from the Colts to try to prevent anyone from trading ahead of them where Arizona was at 3 and maybe taking Richardson. Because apparently Richardson was their guy all along, and I think it's a great fit with Shane Steichen and after what he did with Jalen Hurts.
Yeah, I mean, I just think about where we were with Jalen Hurts a couple years ago, and you know, now he's MVP-level talent and the face of the Eagles franchise. It's like I kind of love the coach-player match with Steichen to develop some of this with Anthony Richardson. You know, limited college experience. I love what Bucky Brooks said, that this is basically sort of like an NBA draft pick where you're not necessarily taking the most polished example from a college player. You're taking potential traits, and he brings all of that, and he feels like the future of the position to me. And I think it's an incredibly exciting pick for a Colts team that has really flatlined with boring, awful, unwatchable quarterback play for years on end.
Let me go through it since Andrew Luck's surprise retirement in 2019. Jake Brisket, Phillip Rivers, Carson Wentz, Matt Ryan. So obviously this is a big turn. Now that for the first time they are investing in a young quarterback coming out of college.
It's crazy. Throw Foles in there. That is like the least athletic group of quarterbacks you could come up with.
Since Luck. And so Richardson is a total swing in the other direction. And we talked about it leading in. There are some concerns about whether he's polished enough to attack the game in a successful manner with a short game. But listen, we'll see. I think we all graded it in real time on the stream as a great move. And if the Colts, if he does develop the way they hope, there's a good chance this is one of those things like, oh, he went 4th, but he was the best player in the draft.
Yeah, and it's like an immediate headache to defensive coordinators. I mean, it's like there aren't a lot of comps of a quarterback like this and how teams are going to have to stop him. And it's like, you talk about this, like, he's going to take so long to develop. He's going to start right away.
Well, he only started 13 games at Florida.
Right. And so right. you can so look at that two ways. Like, he's inexperienced, no doubt. But I think there's a way to look at that and think, like, he actually kind of needs to play, and I think playing will help him. I mean, he was a redshirt sophomore, and so he's a couple years younger than, like, Will Levis, for instance. And I think he's got to learn by playing, and when you have that running ability, that gives you, like, a baseline where I think you can have an offense that's capable enough as he gets better.
I like that, and Shane Steichen, of course, helped turn Jalen Hurts into a superstar in Philly, and yet I've seen it happen, Zach Wilson. Sometimes a raw prospect gets thrown out on the field, and then when it's not going well, you're like, oh, man, they maybe should have given this kid a little time to learn this on the sidelines. Or he's 20 years old. He started 13 games, and he had a completion percentage south of 55% in college. So is he going to be able to be starting against NFL defenses in September?
Right.
I mean if he can, he is an exciting player, no doubt. But it's a big ask for a kid that has not a lot of experience.
You know what, though? Like, the same way you talked about Rodgers and Bryce Young, it's like when we pick our games for week one, like, I'm zooming towards the Colts if I have the chance, because it's like they're a must-watch team, and they have not felt that way about them for a long time. And it was a bold move, and I love that.
Right. And he's got a couple receivers, Pearson Pittman. He's got a good offensive coach. Jim Bob Cooter's back in the building. The offensive line is okay. It's not good, but it's not terrible. Him and Minshew. You have Minshew there if you really don't want to start him right away. But it's the pocket presence for me. I mean, we'll talk about it plenty in the coming days. But I love it, and I love that it kept me from feeling mixed things about Seattle and Anthony Richardson, because I really think they would have taken him. And I think it would have been a smart move, because I do think you can compare him to two guys, Cam Newton and Josh Allen. We'll see if he gets there. I think he has better pocket presence than either one of them. He certainly has a lot to learn, though, too.
You actually said on the live stream that if they picked Will Levis in that spot,
the Seahawks,
which seems insane now because he didn't even end up going in the first round. You were never going to support the Seahawks ever again.
I was
going to
renounce my Seahawks fandom if they took Levis.
That would have shaken the building in Seattle.
Richardson felt okay. If it was going to be Levis and you're ruining my Geno time, I would be unhappy. Instead, they just improved the team around.
We're going to get to that. Every time they cut to Levis in the green room, stop. Greg did the Nelson from The Simpsons laugh.
That's not true.
Bro, he's a human. He's a kid.
On our preview show, I said, I think Levis is a good prospect. He's kind of like an early second round type of, like, has a chance to be a pretty good starter prospect. That was it.
You said he was like Ryan Tannehill.
I said he was like a Ryan Tannehill type of guy.
He did the laugh.
Yeah, I know.
Multiple times.
Every time we cut to him.
That's two people that said it happened.
It's not true.
The Seattle Seahawks, they had that pick from Denver. They took Devin Witherspoon, cornerback out of Illinois. I'm going to do three here, and then we can just talk it over, and then we're going to take a break and keep rolling. The Arizona Cardinals from Detroit via the Rams. Gets a little complicated sometimes with the drafting or the trading. Paris Johnson Jr., the first tackle, comes off the board to the Cardinals. And then the Raiders, a team that needs defensive help, take Tyree Wilson, defensive end out of Texas Tech. Go ahead, boys. Have at it.
I love Tyree Wilson to the Raiders. To pair him with Max Crosby, if he works out, you've got a genuine, like, tornado there on the front of your defense.
Genuine tornado.
I mean, and part of the reason is that they know Chandler Jones is not long for Las Vegas. If it wasn't for the guaranteed money in his contract, he probably wouldn't be on the team this year. He'll be there for one more year. So I think you have Jones, Tyree Wilson. To me, Tyree Wilson is maybe the biggest boomer bust pick of the draft. Paris Johnson might be the other one, and, you know, just because they were both taken so high. They're both traits guys. Those two positions get pushed up in the draft. We've seen a lot of edge players and tackles get overdrafted, and I know that's like the analytical thinking. Take edge players, take tackles, but you also have to get it right. And, like, you want – I know you don't want to go for singles and doubles, but these two guys, Johnson and Wilson especially, feel like they're going for home runs, whereas Seattle went with a guy in Devin Witherspoon who felt like the clear best cornerback in this draft. Very physical, just kind of the classic, like, got that dog in him. A little surprising Seattle took him because they haven't taken cornerbacks at high. But you figure Pete Carroll will know what to do with him, and I think a player that Seahawks fans are really
well. They
love.
They hit on Tariq Woolen in the draft last year as a late round pick, and now they go and make a lottery selection. That's a great cornerback tandem. If who knows?
Physical. If, I mean, that is a physical
if
duo.
If Jamal
right
Adams
there.
Can come back healthy, as another physical player in their secondary, and I'm not saying it's Legion of Boom, but it could be a really good back end. And I'll always wonder with the Seattle Seahawks here if. And it kind of speaks to Geno. Like, we talked about in the old days, the Geno coaster and how he would just be up and down, up and down. That's been a great – I guess down is good for a roller coaster, so it's kind of a confusing thing. But Geno, it's just been a long down, like, celebration, arms up, even here, because who knows.
He had a great day.
Seattle's GM, if Schneider and Carroll had Richardson available – do they take him, and how does that change the trajectory? Instead, they take defense, and then we'll get to it later. They go get help for Geno. So Geno's one of the big winners, as we talk about winners
and losers. If you have Anthony Richardson behind Geno, the problem is that about 14 minutes into week one, Seahawks fans are going to be wondering and clamoring for the concept of seeing Anthony Richardson replace any ups or downs that Geno had.
Geno really signed what amounted to a one-year contract, very similar to what Derek Carr signed a year ago. A little different in terms of money, but very similar in terms of structure, where it's like 1 year, if it goes well, it'll keep going. If it doesn't go well, we'll take a little bit of pain and we'll say goodbye. I don't think that's going to happen, especially after this night. Yeah, we'll get to it, I guess, but I'm ready to crown the Seahawks 2023 NFC West champions. Let's go.
Right. Dan, are you enthused about another campaign, Geno-filled campaign, along with our friend Greg here?
I mean, it's the Geno thing is kind of whatever for me, but the Seahawks fandom, it seems like it's going to be coming on stronger than ever.
Yeah, you can feel it.
Just seems like a lot. All right, let's take a break, and then we'll keep rolling.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring body wash and bar soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. We're now joined by three-time NBA Sixth Man of the Year, elite bucket getter. Let's please welcome Jamal Crawford to Point Game, King of the Court one-on-one tournament. If they had it back in your prime, do you think you could have took it all?
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think I could have took it all, but I think I would have shocked a lot of people. I think Kobe and everybody in their prime, Kobe would win a one-on-one contest.
Yeah, because you got to think, love he's going to guard. He don't care about guarding.
He's going to guard.
He's going to guard. Like, you see him in the Olympics, he's going to guard. And then on
I'm
top of
that. I'm like that, see that?
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Sam Cassell to Point Game.
I remember you came out from crying tears. Crying tears. I mean, he was in a culture shock. And then he's going to withdraw us about winning.
Remember what I told you? I said, OG, you think I can get paid and go back and play in college because it ain't it?
Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, we're back. All right, we're seven picks in. Let's keep rolling here. So the first running back is off the board. In fact, why don't we bookend this? 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. I'm not even going to get to the middle, but I just want to say at number 8 overall, the Atlanta Falcons take Bijan Robinson, the running back out of Texas, and then the Detroit Lions from the Arizona Cardinals via Houston through Cleveland. That's how that...
That's a journey.
That's a lot. They take Jahmyr Gibbs, the running back out of Alabama. So we have two running backs that come off the board in the top 12. Let's start, though, with the Falcons, Mark Sessler, a team that is, you know, in a very important year for the organization, year three under Arthur Smith. They add a dynamic running back. However, there's a year guy in the mix that's probably like, bruh, what else did I need to show you as a rookie? And now you brought in this kid.
Tyler Allgeier cannot be thrilled.
Tyler Allgeier. He is officially your guy.
I like the phone in the background.
I'm not backing off him as my guy because I think that Arthur Smith, this is something another team wouldn't have done because you had value at the position already. I think Bijan Robinson is just an absolutely beautiful fit for the Falcons. They punished people on the ground a year ago. This is a very much Arthur Smith saying, we're not going to veer away from that approach. You're in a way, because I think there's still the concept that if the Titans ever took Will Levis in this later on in this draft, probably won't happen, but that someone like Tannehill would become available and go to the Falcons. Mm. You've essentially built Titans 2.0. And I think Arthur Smith's like, I'm going to continue to do what worked in Tennessee. And you know what? Because I know a lot of people are like, what's the deal with Desmond Ridder? Where's all this trust in him? But this takes so much heat off a quarterback if you can dominate on the ground the way they did towards the end of last season.
Like, the argument against it is they already had a great running game. So how much better can you get? You know, you have Cordarrelle Patterson there, by the way, too. Like, he's still around. You have a good run.
What if he's LaDainian Tomlinson?
That's what I was about to say. He is LaDainian Tomlinson to me as a prospect. Like, that's who he reminds me of. I've seen the edge comparison too, but to me, Bijan Robinson is just so smooth. Like, part of the value of him is I don't think you ever have to take him off the field. He's just a hoss, and he's so good on third downs. His hands are so good. He can run routes. He can make you miss. He's a power back. And when I'm talking about, like, Paris Johnson, who got taken sixth overall, the tackle, who I think – most people probably wouldn't have had him in as a top 15, 20 most talented player, but he plays a position that pushes you up. Like, if Bijan Robinson is a four-time Pro Bowler, not even LaDainian Thomas, but a four-time Pro Bowler, that's a good pick. I don't care that he plays running back, and I just feel more confident in him than almost any player in this draft, and it makes me more excited to watch the Falcons. So that alone makes it a good pick.
Greg and I have been pushing this Falcons thing for a couple years, Dan. We might finally get our way here.
They have a nice little roster here. The quarterback and the receivers.
You guys were wrong for 2 years, and now maybe this makes more sense.
They've been getting a little better.
All right.
I believe in Arthur Smith.
I think Bijan Robinson has to be the best running back in football or be in that conversation after this season for this to be the right move, in my opinion. Although,
but like, who else do you
I'm saying
take?
You could have listen, this team's not a finished product. I think you could have looked in other positional groups that had a bigger need, because I'm just saying, if Allgeier and Patterson are already there, could they use another pass rusher? Could they use somebody in their secondary? Could they use
a wide receiver,
another weapon on offense?
I think they felt it was too rich for Smith and Jigba.
Maybe he is LaDainian Tomlinson. I'm not saying you can't come back to me in October and be like, hey, you said Bijan Robinson wasn't going to be good. He could be, but it's, to me, he almost has to be that special for this to make sense. If he's just like a four-time Pro Bowler and they move on after half a decade, that's the thing that surprised me.
Well, what if he's Derrick Henry or the equivalent of production?
That's like a Hall of Famer to me.
I think that's what they're seeing him as.
I could see that. I also think he can and should be the number one overall pick in fantasy drafts, like, as a rookie. I don't know if that's ever happened before, but to me...
Do you not worry about the timeshare there? Like, as
no.
A, so,
well,
do
they, you, I know they did that last year, but still, no.
Do you move on from... Touches. Do you, like, ship Tyler Allgeier or
Cordarrelle
Patterson somewhere
else? No, he's Cordero a great
Patterson
backup. He was a fifth-round pick last year. He was a great, great backup. You give him 75 to 100 touches, like, backups of yore. Sorry.
But, I thought it was really interesting now to tie it back to Jahmyr Gibbs, the running back out of Alabama who went to the Lions, how you had two running backs go in the top 12, and in both situations, they're going to teams that, A, didn't make the playoffs last year, which kind of flies in the face of the Jeremiah theory that I like if you're going to draft a running back, be a loaded team, a playoff team looking to finish off your offense. And B, both teams had pretty good running back rooms. I don't hate either fit. I was just surprised that these were the teams that grabbed these two very exciting young prospects.
Well, the Lions went out and got David Montgomery too. I mean, I feel like that is a backfield where we could see someone on the way out at some point.
DeAndre Swift seems to be maybe a little bit out of favor.
That one was kind of shocking to me. Now, I think the Lions did a good job. They traded their first and a third with the Cardinals for the Cardinals' first and second. So the Lions have the fourth pick on Friday night. They have the 34th overall pick, and they got that by moving down six spots from 6 to 12. Gibbs is a really exciting-looking player, great receiver. He compares himself to Jamal Charles. Stylistically, you could maybe see that, but he seems dynamic as a receiver. But it makes weird, no sense to me that they gave David Montgomery all that money. Hmm. Like, why are you spending that? If you're going to...
Maybe there is another shoe that drops here.
Well, yeah, right. Swift has got to be gone. Right now, DeAndre Swift is your third running back. It doesn't make sense.
Jalen Carter, if I guess it's a fall. He goes at 9 to the Eagles, who had 70 sacks last year, but were very busy bulking up their front seven. Still, the Bears followed by taking Darnell Wright, a tackle out of Tennessee. And then Gravediggers, Tennessee Titans, take Peter Skoronski, the lineman out of Northwestern. Could be a guard, could be a tackle. Let's start there with that trio. Gravedigger, I know you were happy with this pick. Skoronski was on many mock drafts, like the guy that was coming off the board first at the tackle spot or the line spot, and yet that's not the case, and you end up getting him.
Yeah, I was pretty excited about this. I wanted the Titans to take a quarterback. They all kind of went. I wanted them to get C.J. Stroud or Anthony Richardson, and that was obviously not in the cards. So Skoronski, I mean, he was the best offensive lineman in college football last year, and his only real concern is that he may not have long enough arms to play tackle. But if he comes in, the Titans don't have really a starting left guard on the roster right now. Andre Dillard is slotted in as your starting left tackle. If, you know, you put Skoronski at left guard because you're looking for a long-term, fix at left tackle, great. If you put Skoronski at left tackle and Andre Dillard has played guard in his career, like, they're going to figure it out. And I think
Dillard also gets hurt, like, usually after a couple
that too.
Weeks,
so, I mean, to me, it's like we're not exactly sure where all the pieces are going to fit on the line, but we have good pieces, especially, like, I mean, I think Skoronski could be one of the best guards.
Well,
I mean,
versatility is he's been compared to Elijah Vera Tucker. If you got a guy, oh, we need a guard, lock him in there.
And I saw Zach Martin comparisons too. Like, yeah, if he can be the best guard
in
the NFL,
got hurt, kick him out to tackle, and he'll do a great job there. So I think that's a good.
It seems like
what
a
about
very
his short arms though. He's got short arms.
Well,
that was what moved Zach Martin inside. I mean, he was a tackle at first, and then he became a Hall of Fame.
He's got short arms.
I'd rather have a Hall of Fame guard than like a so-so tackle. Yeah. That said, you told us, Gravedigger, you did a 7-round mock, Titans. That's a lot.
Seems like a lot.
A lot of rounds.
Well, we did like one of those, the draft simulators.
Who's we?
Picked for the Titans. My co-host and I on our podcast, the Music City.
How long did that take?
Get that plug in there, bro.
How long did that take?
It was about an hour-long pod.
Okay. But you had Skoronski going to the Titans on that pod.
Yeah.
And if you had just picked, who'd you pick for the Titans on our pod?
Stroud. I had them trading up for Stroud. I was buying into all the
Mark
smoke.
Mark incredulous.
What? No, I thought you like what you literally
an
went
hour
over
podcast?
7 rounds of picks on a pod.
Just the Titans. Picks.
Just the Titans.
Oh, all right. I thought you did. It's like a white noise machine in the middle of the night.
So if you had just picked Skoronski on this pod, Gravedigger,
should have.
You would have won the
you
competition.
Won.
So
now
close. I have a question about that.
So close.
Not that it matters anymore because I'm already losing. I'm already losing.
Filing an appeal?
There we go.
No.
You can't return your Harold Landry III jersey. They're not taking returns on that. That's the answer to your question.
If Mark has 13 points right now, right?
Yeah. What if not the Titans, right now, permanently.
What if the Titans pick Will Levis at 41 tomorrow?
Oh. We're not engaging in like.
Oh.
Then you get 15 points and beat me by 3? I don't know.
We got.
Oh, because I picked.
You picked him.
Well, then maybe it would be applicable. I don't know. Check that out later.
That was a La Raviel Magnifico right
no,
there.
No, I would say like the scoring is locked down at this point, right?
Yeah.
I mean, there's no like something
fine.
Happens in the third round.
No,
I do want to see
what
would happen.
Mock.
Right. What would happen, though, if they did that? Then I think the Tannehill to Atlanta plan becomes much more tangible.
Now, Gravedigger, we'll get to sandwiches on Tannehill Saturday to recap them all, but you said there wouldn't be any top 10 trades.
Top 7, but yes.
It was top 7. And there was a couple here. The Detroit trade, there was the Arizona trade, so you got pretty hard. Listen,
it went pretty quiet from there, though. It wasn't overly trade heavy.
You cool with the short arms?
I'm cool with it.
If Rashawn Slater has fairly short arms too, right? Like, and he was amazing.
He could come in here and absolutely clean house.
Well, let's talk about the other top 10 trade though, which was the Eagles trading up one spot.
Oh yeah,
gave up very little. What a night for Howie!
Unbelievable!
Unbelievable!
They're the winners.
I think we could talk about their two picks together because they're kind of a they're a combo platter. To get Jalen Carter, the number one player on Daniel Jeremiah's board before the off field stuff really popped up. The guy who pops off the screen more than any player in this entire draft, where you just look at him and you're like, oh my God, that guy is just going to destroy in the NFL. He's one of the best defensive tackle prospects in years. To get him at 9, and all you gave up to move up was what? A fourth round pick to move up that one spot. And then you get Nolan Smith late in the draft, who to me was like a top 15 type of player who looks a lot like Hassan Reddick. You put those two guys on what's already a pretty good defensive line, and it's just the rich get richer, and they know who they are. I really love the way the Eagles build their team.
Half their defense is from Georgia. you're playing in a pretty weakened NFC right now, where the landscape feels very manageable.
Who are the top 5 quarterbacks in the AFC right now, NFC right now?
Well, you'd be giggling Hurts, by the time you got to number 5, I think.
Hurts, Dak.
Good luck from there.
Yeah. Then it
gets weird
for
quick.
Me, it gets weird. You know.
You need Fields to make Nick take a jump.
Cousins is in there. Maybe
that's an insult.
Zoinks. We're missing someone that are going to get people really mad, but imagine we didn't forget.
That's a different exercise for
Matthew
a different day.
Stafford. Who did we forget? Anybody in the NFC?
Brock Purdy, Geno Smith.
Geno might be 5. He might be in the top 5.
Daniel Jones.
I guess from a talent perspective, Kyler Murray, but he's not even present.
No, that's fair. No, that's fair.
Talent from a talent angle.
Kyler Murray.
Jared Goff.
I mean, it really.
It's a depressing landscape.
Like that pick of the Eagles was what the Saints pick last year, and it just goes to show when you're always thinking about the future, and I think the Eagles think about the future better than just about anyone. They do everything like a year in advance. Like that trade at the time was like, oh yeah, that was a good trade. They picked up an extra first. Saints moved up for Olave, but the Saints are happy. Now you look at it a year later, because you weren't getting too antsy, you waited a year. You get maybe the best player in the draft for just waiting a year.
I think we talked. He pled no contest to misdemeanor charges of reckless driving and racing. And then, this is according to ESPN, he was 9 pounds heavier at his pro day than he was at the NFL Combine 2 weeks earlier. He couldn't finish his positional drills. So, listen, you could see that stuff, and it affected him most likely. And maybe, and this is where you kind of trust the organization. This is why I'm not saying waving a red flag myself. I'm saying, okay, if Philly felt like he checked out and they could get him on the straight and narrow, I buy it, especially joining a veteran roster here. You got veteran like Brandon Graham, Fletcher Cox, guys like that. This is a perfect spot for Carter. Yeah. I mean, Seattle was the one a lot of people pointed to, and that would have made sense too. But Philly is a great landing.
Yeah,
spot.
You have a new defensive coordinator in Sean Desai. Like, although there was a lot of stuff they'll do similar from last year on defense, and I mean they're just ultra loaded.
Mm. The Bears, that was a very smart decision. They have to better protect Justin Fields. So Darnell Wright there, a clean prospect, a tackle there. Any thoughts beyond that?
Right tackle. They're happy with their left tackle. Braxton Jones, I think they hit on a fifth rounder a year ago who really looked quite good at left tackle. And so they took a guy in Wright who, you know, the way explained to me, the more you watched him, it was like, why isn't this guy getting ranked higher on draft boards? And then eventually he did. He looks like the most ready kind of guy to go play day one. He's just a right tackle only, but for the Bears, I don't think that's going
to
bother
them. It's a similar situation to Seattle, where when they hit on a late round cornerback last year, and now they come back and they get a big prospect. And if they hit on this guy now, look out. And you did it without giving up 2 lottery type picks.
I keep clicking by mistake, and I just X'd it out, on Peter Schrager's mock draft and thinking those were the picks that actually happened, and it's blowing my brain. It's like, what? What is that?
What? Hit it. Let's go. Let's fly. Give me a long one. Give me a long Greggy what?
Those what? Are... What? What? What?
I'm getting hot again.
What? What?
All right, okay.
You're gonna lose me soon.
So this part of the draft frustrates me a little bit. So the Packers, as a part of the Aaron Rodgers trade, swapped number one picks this year. So they move into 13, and they say, we want to get some help with our defense. They do it all. And by the way, this is what they do all the time, the Packers. They take defensive players.
True. They didn't stick it to Aaron Rodgers.
In the first round,
they would.
And Lucas Van Ness out of Iowa goes there.
Well, so, yeah. I mean, I had a sandwich prop saying that they would take at least four wide receiver, tight end combinations.
Still could happen.
It still can happen.
It was nebulous, prop.
Yeah, but this is like...
They've got 11 more picks.
This is where I thought it would happen, though, was like you go get the best wide receiver and you build around Jordan Love. And I guess it is frustrating from that angle, except that Lucas Van Ness, to me, along with Rashawn Gary, is... I just think he just strikes me as someone that's going to come right in and be ultra disruptive. And I've liked him a lot through this whole process. He's sort of an athletic freak. And... it's something. It's good for Green Bay. I think from that angle, it's not like it's negative because he's not a wide receiver.
Well, he also is wearing the shirt, I think, of any draft prospect that would have been most likely to be worn by Mark Sessler. Mm. Like, it was a pretty wild, beautiful shirt that was really a change to what we mostly see in men's fashion. Mark is trying to be the change that he wants to see in men's fashion. He's been very frustrated for years.
Well, I at least complain about it. I don't know what change.
Well, this shirt. Look at this. I mean, people should check out the YouTube of this podcast.
What do they call it? Paisley? Is that what that is?
I don't know what this is.
Nice. Sort of other...
something Prince would wear in his estate.
Like earthly flower arrangements or something.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure very Van Ness nice. Will be good, but color me less excited that we got, like, Preston Smith's replacement. Ouch. I don't know. I just wanted something more... poppy, but he fits very much with Gary and Preston Smith. He reminds me of Preston Smith, kind of. He's a guy who's going to get a lot of pressures, probably not a lot of sacks. Good stuff.
These guys from like Iowa, they don't care if it's like 1 degree out.
That's not the pick that annoyed me. The next pick is what annoyed me, because the Pittsburgh Steelers trade up with the New England Patriots. And, you know, we talked about this leading into the draft. It's time for Pittsburgh to shore up that offensive line and get back to, you know, dominating up front. We had Damashek on the live stream. Check that out. And he made a point of that as well. They go and get Broderick Jones, which not only costs me a sandwich, it, I think, causes the next team, the Jets, to have to pivot and go in a different direction. So that was an area of need for Pittsburgh. They have a second-year quarterback in Kenny Pickett, a running game that I feel like... you know, they have a first-round running back from a couple of years ago. Najee Harris, that you feel like it hasn't ever really totally clicked, and I think a lot of that goes back to QB line play. Maybe now everything's in line for Harris to truly take off and Pickett to take the next step with a big-time lineman if Broderick Jones hits.
I think you started to see that run game come together at the end of last season. The line got a little bit better after being an abject disaster early on. Damashek, who is pretty accurate with his Steelers prognostications, called him an 11-win team in a rough-and-tumble AFC. The line, I think, for growing up, the Steelers always mauled you with the offensive line, and it's been a real problem lately. And their offense now at this point feels so different from where they were a year and a half ago, because you got all these young, talented players on sort of their first contract and quarterback. George Pickens, you're improving the line. Najee Harris, it's like you can really see something there.
There was kind of a run on tackles here. So it's telling to me the Patriots traded out. I thought they might take a tackle, but they traded out. They picked up, you know, an extra, I think it was a fourth, to move down a few spots. And maybe they were just happy to extra stick it to the Jets. They somehow knew that the Steelers would take the Jets guy, although we don't really even know it was the Jets guy. It just seemed to make sense.
I think it was the Jets guy, because the Jets, they take Will McDonald out of Iowa State, who is known as Bendy or Mr. Bendy, and is, despite not having ideal size, is a very athletic, talented edge rusher. You need Jets are still looking for that consistency in their pass rush. And yet, yeah, I think they were kind of caught a little bit here, because remember, they have Carl Lawson. It's kind of a forgotten thing, but they had all those first round picks last year. They took Jermaine Johnson last year as well. They have a ton of linemen, and I know Saleh is going to try to keep all those guys in the mix, but I don't know. I was definitely – it's it's all kind of, there's still a lot of afterglow with the Rodgers thing, so I'm not really that down about it. But the offensive lineman felt like such the move, and they ran out of the big four.
Yeah, I thought you made a good point on our live stream where, like, they are basically going into, no, there's more picks to come, but you're going into the season with last year's line that's fine if they can stay healthy. And if Mekhi Becton, you know, has had a good offseason, there's a lot of praise around what his effort and everything, but like, you got to stay intact, right?
Yeah.
And so
right.
This would have been a big – it felt like a really ripe place for an offensive tackle.
I would assume they'll take one in this draft, but it might be like a fourth rounder that you're just crossing your fingers that you can develop. Will McDonald is a little bit different flavor than the guys they have. I mean, he's a different flavor than most of the league, but we're seeing the league get lighter. I mean, he's like Nolan Smith in terms of his size. Under 240 pounds as an edge rusher is wild. But just a total, like, Tasmanian devil of just getting after the quarterback and just tough as hell and didn't, like, blow up the combine quite as much. So I think a lot of people thought Nolan Smith would go ahead of him, and Nolan Smith ended up going 15 picks later. But an exciting player, a little different flavor than the other guys.
It's just not what I was expecting. I even thought there was a chance they might go get one of the wide receivers or a tight end, but they take another pass rusher, and he's going to eventually replace Carl Lawson. It just becomes a matter of, is that happening next year? Or is Lawson potentially, is that something that can happen? Will he be moved or even released? We shall see. Let's take a break.
You'll always have your chant.
Yeah.
Well, see, you can't hurt me. You can't hurt me right now. It's Teflon, baby. Let's take a break, and we'll hit the back end of the first round.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day. And smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. We're now joined by three-time NBA Sixth Man of the Year, elite bucket getter. Let's please welcome Jamal Crawford to Point Game. King of the Court one-on-one tournament. If they had it back in your prime, do you think he could have took it all?
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think I could have took it all, but I think I would have shocked a lot of people. I think Kobe and everybody in their prime, Kobe would win a one-on-one contest.
Yeah, because you got to think, he's going to guard. He don't care about guarding.
He's going to guard.
He's going to guard. Like, you see him in the Olympics, he's going to guard. And then on top of that.
I'm not guarding like that, see that?
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Sam Cassell to Point Game.
I remember you came to my room crying tears. I mean, he was in a culture shock. He's going to withdrawals about winning.
Remember what I told you? I said, OG, you think I can get paid and go back and play in college because it ain't it?
Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, here we go. Welcome back to the podcast. The Commanders, meat and potatoes, Mark Emmanuel Forbes, cornerback out of Mississippi State. The New England Patriots traded back to take a cornerback as well, Christian Gonzalez, who dropped a little bit there, and then we'll move to the Detroit Lions, and we'll hit all these three. Jack Campbell, a little bit of a surprise, inside linebacker out of Iowa. So they'd go running back and inside linebacker with their two first-round picks, Detroit.
You got to be thrilled if you're the Patriots to have Christian Gonzalez, who, I don't know, that seemed like a top 10 pick or the first cornerback off the board potentially, to fall to you at 17. It's a place where I really would want to be a cornerback and go play because I trust the development there under Bill Belichick.
It is exciting for them to have, and so rare to have a draft that worked out so well for them conventionally. I mean, it doesn't matter what the mock draft grades are, but they'll get a good one for once because Gonzalez fits a need. They certainly could use a cornerback. They could certainly use a cornerback that's like taller than me. I mean, their cornerbacks is just a small group. Jonathan Jones, you got Jack Jones, you got Marcus Jones. All the Joneses, they're not terribly tall. Neither is Miles Bryant. It's just like one of the smallest groups of cornerbacks in the NFL, maybe in NFL history. Well, I guess they used to be small back in the day. Cause, you know,
can you check every cornerback group in the history of the league and see?
But now you're bringing a guy who's like smooth as now, hell. Please. I mean, just the way he moves is nice. It's like a little Stephon Gilmore vibe.
Emmanuel Sanders said on NFL Network before the draft that Christian Gonzalez was exactly the type of corner, as a smaller wide receiver, exactly the kind of cornerback you don't want to deal with.
So the Patriots are excited and and
Forbes is fun too. Under 170 pounds is a 6'1 guy, but like just right, ridiculous.
I was in the middle of talking.
Sorry,
that's okay, Greg. I was just going to say Christian Gonzalez was not overly excited. It seemed after he was selected.
I think he was disappointed to fall to 17.
Yeah.
How much money? How much money does it cost you to fall from 17? Like if he went top 10, is there? I know it's a big difference, but how big are we talking?
Plus, I don't have the exact number for you at this moment, but I can do some work on that.
Justin, once you get through every cornerbacks group in the history of the league, just the exact money.
All right. Okay. I got an article. Number seven, let's say where a lot of people mocked them to the Raiders, mm-hmm. 27 million. Number 17.
Guaranteed.
Well, this is the whole contract, which they almost always all get. Yep. 16 million. So that's a $7 million difference.
Jesus Christ.
Pretty big difference.
Maybe I wouldn't be smiling as much either, but he's still first round pick in the NFL. Are we surprised about the Lions pick, Greg? After they take the running back, going Jack Campbell there, not a lot of people had them there, but they do need to boost that defense.
Yeah, that was shocking. Jack Campbell, though, is a guy I think they kind of are living in an age that Dan Campbell played in. You know, they draft a running back. They draft an off-ball linebacker. Like, Jack Campbell is the type of guy who 20 years ago would have got taken in the top 20 and you wouldn't have blinked. He won the college award for the best linebacker. He's extremely athletic. He blew up the combine just like, you know, a nice corn-fed boy from Iowa that just made play after play, like racked up tackles. But he was not getting a lot of buzz in this draft because that position's just not valued. And he wasn't like a total freak like a Devin White who was getting top 10.
2022 Butkus Award
there you
winner.
Go. Corn-fed.
Corn-fed.
I don't know why you always say that about – I always say that or people say that
just
about like
I usually
Iowa.
Know
just
what
Iowa
that
always.
Means,
yeah.
typically.
Just means, well, I think they're out there working the fields. They're farmers.
It means you played in
sons
the
of farmers
Big
or farmers
10,
themselves.
You're like a white guy.
Yeah.
That's it's essentially like the, what it is.
It's the crafty wide receiver, but for like a linebacker, yeah, corn-fed.
Yeah. It doesn't suggest a slight individual.
It's always like I always see them – in mock drafts to be like, this guy just like looks like he just seems like a Patriot, and it's just always a white guy.
Let's keep on moving.
I like this next pick.
All right, the next pick. Go ahead. Set it up, pal.
Kalijah Kancey, Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Todd Bowles gets, baby Aaron Donald. I want to see him play because, I mean, there's like.
Baby Aaron Donald. What a
some
comp.
Of the comp. Yeah, but it's like his arms are also a little short, that's maybe an issue, but like he's explosive and they could use a little juice right there.
Yeah, just like a pure pass rusher. I always get a little worried about Todd Bowles, just seems like all he cares about is defense. And so Kancey is a fun pick and he's not going to be playing on running downs necessarily all the time right away, and that's fine, but he'll juice up the pass rush. But you do need to play offense.
This is when I got a little or increasingly worried for Will Levis because this seemed like a potential.
Yeah,
landing spot for him.
I know in the draft board plays out a certain way or whatever, but they're serious about this Baker thing, I guess, Tampa.
Yeah, I think they are, at least for this year. I mean, but
is that a surprise? It's a little surprising.
I don't know.
He's been flailing for years. He had a couple of good games last year, but he's going to be there like week one.
They keep talking about Kyle Trask whenever they talk about Baker Mayfield, but what's so exciting about Kyle Trask?
They could be a Tannehill guy. I also think they're among the most likely Will Levis landing spots in round two. Mm. I thought they would take Levis there. That was the first spot where I was like,
I'm with you.
Let's head into the 20s. All right, this is a great pick. The Seattle Seahawks, after passing on a quarterback and instead addressing their defense in the top five, they then take Jackson Smith and Jigba out of Ohio State, seen by many as the best wide receiver in this class. So they have Tyler Lockett, they have DK Metcalf, and now they have Smith and Jigba. A very nice trio. One of the best.
Damn.
Who was that?
Damn.
If he hits.
Wait, that's Kevin Hart talking to, who was it?
When he found out somebody was old, it's an actor. Eh.
Don Cheadle.
Oh, and Cheadle got pissed.
Every time I hear Kevin Hart talk, I just think of him saying, you know.
Damn.
Anyway, Smith and Jigba hits. That's a really nice trio. And again, everything broke Geno today. Mm-hmm. They don't get Richardson. They address defense in the first pick, and then they add another playmaker. Very nice, very nice.
I think he's going to be really productive for them. Out of the gate, great route runner. Fits right in. And, you know, I thought he could have gone to the Jets. I thought he could have gone to the Packers. It's a bit of a coup d'etat for Seattle to get him here.
He's like the option route master. And we're just him and the quarterback have to be on the same page. He looks at the leverage and he picks which spot to go. Basically, a better version of all those slot receivers. And the Seahawks have been desperately needing that for years. Like, he's just good at setting up defenders in the open field. Like, he's kind of got like a crossover in terms of how he gets past people, vision. Like, he's just a great runner. And man, the three of them complement each other very well, those three receivers.
Yeah, great pick. And you know what, we were in the heat of the moment doing the live stream. I did not even process that this started a run of four straight wide receivers off the board. So as we said, Smith and Jigba to Seattle. The Chargers take Quentin Johnston, adding another playmaker. That was a smart move out of TCU. The Ravens then, and by the way, we're going to get to Lamar in a second, but let's start by talking about the draft still. Zay Flowers, the wide receiver out of BC, who had been connected to Kansas City as a potential option. He goes to Baltimore, and then with the 23rd pick, another wide receiver, Jordan Addison out of USC, goes to the Vikings. Obviously replacing Adam Thielen, or that's the hope. Wow, four in a row.
I'd start with the Ravens because it's a big win for, I think, Rashad Bateman too, who, you know, he's been injured, he's had durability issues, but I think he's a very good wide receiver. You now have Odell Beckham, Flowers, Rashad Bateman, Mark Andrews, a new offensive coordinator, and you have Lamar Jackson.
Is it good news for Rashad Bateman?
I mean, I guess I should say that more, that I don't want him to be your number one wide receiver. And now you've kind of put him probably where he's tiered. It's not great for his production, but for the Ravens, who have struggled for decades to draft anyone, like, I thought Zay Flowers was almost a home run to be chased after by the Chiefs, who seemed so interested in him and would have fit so well there. But this passing game has hope for the first time in a while.
Well, Steve Smith, you know, watched Flowers and thought, he kind of reminds me of me. And now you put him in Baltimore and you can't help but think of Steve Smith's years there and Anquan Boldin. They've always had I know it's totally different staffs, it's not necessarily connected, but I can see Lamar throwing well over the middle of the field. That's where he's at his best, to Zay Flowers. And now you have all sorts of different flavors between Rashad Bateman and Odell. It's just a much different team. And oh, by the way, you can have a fully healthy J.K. Dobbins, not like just coming back from injury halfway through the season. You've got Linderbaum's now a year older, their first round pick. I mean, they still need to stay healthy, but on paper, it's a great day for Lamar Jackson. And we might as well get to it. I mean, sure. It's crazy that this is an afterthought. Lamar Jackson's new contract is an afterthought, but that's what happens on draft day.
It's the first night of the NFL draft, and Lamar signs, comes to agreement on a 5-year, $260 million contract. Rap Sheet had the reporting there. The deal includes $185 million in total guarantees per Rappaport. The $52 million per year annual salary makes Jackson the NFL's newest highest paid player. So Jalen Hurts had that title for all of a week. There are different ways to look at this. Of course, it's Deshaun Watson who still has the strap for the most guaranteed money at 230. That was what obviously Lamar was shooting for, but he ends up in a very good place. He gets 5-year deal, $185 million guarantee, and he's not going anywhere. Do we have some Lamar sound making the announcement on social media, as the kids in sports do these days?
Yes, courtesy of the Baltimore Ravens.
All right.
You know, for the last few months, There's been a lot of he say, she say. A lot of nail biting, a lot of head scratching going on. But for the next 5 years, it's a lot of flock going on. Let's go, baby. Let's go.
A lot of flock.
Can't wait to get there. Can't wait to be there. Can't wait to light up M&T for the next 5 years, man. Let's get it.
M&T, the stadium.
Right. A lot of he said, she said scenarios there.
I mean, there is going to be a lot of flocking going on. We're going to be flocking up a storm in Baltimore. Let's go.
Who's we?
I don't know. Just watching football. People are happy this is over. You were right, by the way, to ask if the Hurts contract had an impact. I was like, I don't know. No, I didn't think so.
I'm loyal to football.
And he ends up signing essentially Jalen Hurts' contract plus 10%. That's why you don't need an agent, apparently, in the end, is you're just like, oh, yeah, give me Jalen Hurts, but add like 7% numbers.
I really don't have a super strong feeling about having an agent or not, but it made it a lot more tedious for all of us.
Yeah, that's kind of the most important thing.
Yeah.
At least for us.
It's over.
It's over.
And it's in a nice spot. I'm just
happy.
Is
there anything about the contract we don't know? I have no idea. But all we know is it's no longer a story. He is going there. And I said it about when Odell signed, the writing was on the wall there because Odell is a certain type of guy and he was not going to go play with Snoop Huntley. Lamar was going back. It felt like it was going to happen. The only thing then was like, do the Ravens, how far did they want to take this? Did they want to do something like they did today by adding a playmaker and then have Lamar play on that franchise and see how he does with a better supporting cast before they – I kind of maybe would have thought about doing that. But at the same time, things had gotten so –
I don't know if he would have done
that. Because the negotiation was so grim that I don't think they even had that as an option. They almost had to make Lamar happy and keep it from being a circus, which is kind of what it was.
I think what was lost a little in this is how much the Ravens wanted Lamar Jackson to keep being their quarterback this whole time. Now, they had a certain way they approached the negotiation, but they did not want to be in any world where they were starting over at quarterback when they have this quarterback that they really love. That's why they offered him $133 million guaranteed 6 months ago. The problem was that price wasn't enough. They get to the finish line. I'm glad it's over. And I'm glad, like, this is a good-looking team overall. That's why that 11 wins for the Steelers seems rich to me, because I think the Browns have a chance. They have a pretty good roster if Watson plays well. And then you have the Ravens and you have the Bengals. Man, it's just a loaded
division.
When
Damashek said that was before they had taken Zay Flowers here too. Not that that's the complete turning point. I mean, I think if we knew all this was going to happen, that Lamar Jackson was essentially going to go to market months ago, and someone said not a single other team would show any tangible interest in him, that's an upset. The Ravens really want him, but no one else did.
Well, they didn't want to give up, multiple first-round picks and that.
I think there were probably aspects of it that were humbling for Jackson, but at the end of the day, things kind of worked out.
And it's sort of gotten lost in the shuffle with Todd Monken, the new offensive coordinator. You know, it's going to be a totally different offense. We'll see what it looks like. He was in college. You know, he had been in the pros before, but it's not going to be that weird, just crazy, run-heavy Greg Roman thing.
Well, I think the Greg Roman thing, as it does, kind of ran its course, and probably the moving on from Greg Roman was a big boon for Lamar Jackson, too, I think.
I just wonder if they had a potential opportunity to see if Lamar could stay healthy this upcoming season.
I just don't think
his production was going to kind of get back to what he was a few years ago.
You think he would have played? I could have seen him.
I don't think it would have. I think it was.
Yeah, I'd see him stay out the year.
It was kind of the well was poisoned from that perspective. So they're rolling the dice a little bit, but that's how it works.
If Kyler's getting that money, if Deshaun Watson's getting that money, like this is an MVP. He's getting that money.
Here we go. The Giants, who, by the way, gave a lot of money to a quarterback that maybe you need to see more from. They take a cornerback, Deontay Banks, out of Maryland. That is an area of need. The Bills, speaking of area of need, at 25, take Dalton Kincaid. So the first tight end comes off the board out of Utah, giving the team another offensive playmaker. Everyone was saying the same thing there. They need to add players. Now is DeAndre Hopkins next? Maybe not. There are reports that came out today that the Cardinals now are more likely to hang on to Hopkins, but maybe that's smoke. Still would like to see that. Get Kincaid and Hopkins in there, and we're flying. And then the Dallas Cowboys at 26 overall, take the Wizard of Moz, Mozzie Smith, defensive tackle out of Michigan. So they want to help out with their run stuffing game, and Smith is he's good at that.
I love Kincaid for the Bills. I think that this would have been a wide receiver area too had there not been that run. The one thing about the Hopkins, like just going to look at like over the cap, I think I mentioned this the other show, that the amount of dead money that the Cardinals are still stuck with if they move him. I know they're in rebuilding mode.
Yeah, they're
so
dead anyway.
They're
though,
dead anyway,
you know?
so you get something for
they've
him.
They've been
but
trying to, by all accounts. Rap yeah. Sheet said they were trying to include him in a deal that would have included the Titans potentially.
You see the reporting.
Actually,
just
that was Cardinals. A trade, Football though. Talk, rather, that reported that, I should say.
Well, then why not Buffalo go get him? I mean, like, that makes
right.
I'm a little concerned about the Stephon Diggs thing, too. Like, he's not doing the offseason. Like, there seems to be some discord
what,
there.
For what it's worth, Cardinals general manager Monty Ossenfort had this to say after Thursday night. I don't foresee that happening, Ossenfort said after Paris Johnson Jr. was taken at number 6. I don't know what is going to happen here in the next couple of days. Right now, I don't see that. Foresee that happening now. So that's not
sure,
definitely.
Sure,
oh,
sure,
he also added DeAndre's a Cardinal and we're moving forward.
Oh, well,
so that's pretty strong. I would have led with that quote, but it's okay.
I do love that Kincaid pick. They actually gave up a 4th-round pick to move up 2 spots because I think they were worried Dallas would potentially take Dalton Kincaid. Who knows if Dallas actually would have, because I was sure they were going to take Michael Meyer there, the Notre Dame tight end.
Who just he fell out of the first round.
Felt like the Jason Witten replacement, if there ever was one. But, man, I really love Kincaid. I was totally with Move the Sticks with Daniel Jeremiah. He had Kincaid as a top 10 player in this entire draft. I thought he was the most exciting pass catcher in this draft, period. Just his crazy hands.
Well, here's the test, Greggy. Yeah. This is the test, right?
Yeah.
We talked about it's time for a tight end to come into this league and ball out.
You demanded it.
I demanded it. If not, stop taking him in the first round.
I mean, he's the 25th pick, though.
I'm saying first rounder, and you're putting him in Western New York with one of the great quarterbacks in the sport, and a great. They got Stephon Diggs in the building. You have no excuse for this guy not to be a baller.
It's
Let's
not
go.
Too much for you to ask that.
You also just gave Dawson Knox a ton of money. But I think they're very different players. Knox, you know, a little bit of a blocker. But still, it's interesting to give that much money to Dawson Knox and then take Kincaid. I do want to mention—
Can I just say the great Eric Roberts behind the glass, one of the people behind the scenes that make the show go, and a diehard Bills fan, pointed out the exact contract specifics. What was it, $13 million a year in that extension?
Yeah.
But $52
million? Four-year 52, I think.
Like, that is a lot of money.
Yeah.
And now you just brought in another tight end. Maybe they make it work, and then Knox does different things than Kincaid,
that was
but it's a lot of money.
It was an overpay for Knox.
A lot
Knox
of money.
Knox is fine, but that was, that was surprising.
If there's any reason to check out our YouTube live stream, go to the last 10 minutes or so and check out Eric's Bill shirt. It's just fantastic.
Oh, yeah.
Just check out Eric in general.
Yeah, no, I mean, you can
kind
do
of
that
too. A striking-looking guy.
Yes.
He's got dark hair.
A lot of comments in the
guy,
stream.
The
a
mustache, and then, like, he's got these cool piercings, nice torso area, and then a really nice fitted shirt.
This is getting...
is everything okay, Eric?
This podcast doesn't have sex appeal.
Yeah.
Wait, are we cool, Eric? Okay, he's giving me a thumbs up.
HR has actually just walked in.
Let's HR see. Is at home. HR's sleeping.
HR went home 2 days ago.
Ain't no rules. We're after 10
p.m. I'm falling asleep as well.
Yeah, we're going home soon, but so that Chargers and Vikings fans don't complain. Quentin Johnston, nice little Mike Williams replacement. That's interesting, though. I kind of think Mike Williams is not long for the Chargers. One more year on his contract. And then Addison was my personal favorite wide receiver in this class just because I feel like he is going to get open. That's what Kwesi Adofo-Mensah said in his press conference. Just like this guy gets open coming off the bus. He just runs great routes. So good luck to cornerbacks trying to
that
guard
is a mess.
Justin Jefferson and Addison. Addison's your number two. You can't double
and,
that guy.
Yeah, and famously it was the Vikings, a different brain trust, obviously, so maybe it's not one-to-one, and it's not even close, actually. But they laughed when it was who did the Eagles take ahead of Justin Jefferson?
Jalen Reagor.
So they're hoping
who's now on the Vikings.
History is going to repeat itself, and they end up getting the best wide receiver in this draft class, even if he isn't the first off the board. And you know who else could just, in his heyday, he just always got open?
Randy Moss.
Well, it's different.
Okay.
Adam Thielen.
Oh.
That's what he did.
Well, I'm not
he's surprised.
I'm not
he's
wrong
like,
about
it's always open.
I'm correct about Randy Moss. Though,
it's absolutely right about Thielen.
Thank you. Thank you, Greg. Mark, you're muddling the process.
I was I was Moss doing was that fine. On purpose for you.
He was okay. Remember that game on Thanksgiving, and he had three touchdown catches? That was the only three catches he had in that whole game against the Cowboys. Just think about that. Like, is Randy Moss truly elite?
Well, it wouldn't have happened if that Cowboys team had Mazi Smith, defensive tackle out of Michigan. So.
The Wizard of Moz. All right, let's finish it up here. The Jags pick they got from Buffalo take Anton Harrison, tackle Oklahoma. We should mention that Cam Robinson, their left tackle, apparently tested positive for PEDs and is facing a suspension. We don't know how long the suspension is unless something else was reported. But he's out for the beginning of the season, so here's Harrison. Potential six-game suspension, it appears to be.
Never a great sign when you're, like, taking a guy because your other guy just got suspended. I'm not sure that's why they did that,
but it feels a little desperate.
The Bengals take defensive end Miles Murphy out of Clemson, so they add we connected them to those running backs.
Tight ends.
They were long gone, those running backs, by the time the Cincinnati Bengals got on the draft board. So, yeah, they focus on defense there. The Saints, from San Francisco through Miami and Denver, take Brian Breece, Bressy of Clemson, the defensive
tackle.
The
Sean Payton pick, yeah.
The Philadelphia Eagles, as we talked about already, Nolan Smith out of Georgia. And the final, it's got to be, because it's the last pick, it's got to be the tough one. The Kansas City Chiefs take Felix Anudike Uzama, defensive end out of Kansas State.
Nice pop from the local crowd there. Great job by Kansas City in general. Since we were on air, we weren't really hearing the broadcast as much as I expected. I guess
people
seemed
to be having fun.
But it appeared enjoyable.
Just the visuals of it was wild. And then when they announced Anudike Uzama's name, they went crazy. And I just was like, wow, that's a lot of pop for him. But a Kansas State guy makes sense.
Kansas State.
Neighboring.
You know what? Speaking of Eric Roberts, we asked Eric to give some breakdown of that. He said, you know, loyal to the soil, but Kansas State and Kansas City, different states, right?
Yeah, but they're close. In Missouri, yes.
Maybe a little disloyal to the soil.
Well, I mean, I think it's a regional pick.
Right. I mean, people get, yes, Kansas City, Missouri. I mean, there is a Kansas City, Kansas, but that's beside the point, I guess, in this conversation.
I'm just pointing it out.
It's a fair thing to point out, but I understand.
He said loyal to the soil, perhaps disloyal to said soil.
You've just made things awkward with Eric after so many nice compliments just minutes ago.
Okay, you know how long right now? It's currently 1:56 in the morning in Kansas City. If you get on I-70... you're getting from Kansas State to downtown Kansas City in 16 minutes.
Well,
that's loyal. The soil's the same.
Got to get over the border, though.
You're very into the state line scenario.
Yeah.
I understand.
There could be a toll road.
Now, you could stop at the Supermart in El Torito. It's about halfway if you want.
I'm sure there's a rival supermarket for...
You see
the
this
Kansas
tweet?
State?
Yeah, exactly. Read that to us.
I wish I could pronounce his name. Felix.
That's why I'm leaving it to you.
Said, quote, "I got drafted by literally my favorite team growing up."
That's pretty good.
So your argument
state.
Continues.
It's just a different state,
your
though.
Argument continues to crumble though, from a certain angle.
You are a factory of sadness.
Some things are working against me in this argument.
I would say so.
But the only thing I have on my side is the fact that it's a different state. And you can push back all you want, but that's not changing.
Well, we can discuss that later.
Can we?
He's a top 10 football insider.
The only thing you have on your side is that we just wrapped it all up. Oh, congratulations, Saints. You took another, like, toolsy defensive end that you're not in love with, at least that your fans aren't in love with. They always take these guys.
So who, obviously, let's see, who is the best available players as we – and by the way, the Steelers have the first pick of the second round. Steelers, Cardinals, Lions, first three up.
Of these tight ends.
Does Will Levis go to one of those teams? Hendon Hooker, I don't know.
Hendon Hooker, I mean –
how about the Rams picking fifth in the second round? Interesting.
What do you project for them?
They need
a quarterback, maybe?
Oh, you know who didn't go? Joey Porter didn't go.
Yeah, Joey Porter.
Joey Porter,
who I –
oh, and the Steelers are up first. Maybe that's the spot.
I think you've got to. I hate when teams don't do this
they
thing.
They might not think he's that good at football, though. I know there's a connection to the
It's a relative
dad,
surprise that he fell out of the first round.
A lot of it, you know, a physical guy that most analysts had in their top 20 mm-hmm. in terms
it's
of.
It's like, it's not an obligation, though, for them to.
They could use a cornerback.
It's
not, but I hate when teams don't do it. Like, Joey Porter was the heart and soul, and quite annoying if you were
Do the Clay Matthews.
No, but if you. Well, it is reminds me when the Browns passed on the son of Clay Matthews, and he becomes a. Or it's like, oh, let's pass on TJ or on JJ Watt's brother because there couldn't possibly be another Watt that's just as good as him.
It's a fair point. How did one Watt get so underdrafted after the other Watt got overdrafted? Taco Charlton went ahead of TJ Watt.
What are we doing here?
Let's use that as a cautionary tale here.
Brian Branch, who the best safety in the draft, like can do a little bit of everything, not like crazy athleticism, but I thought he might go in the first half of the first round is still out there. Michael Mayer, as we mentioned, those are kind of the biggest.
Mayer,
your guy Darnell Washington, a lot of receivers.
I can't wait to see
a lot of good second
him.
Round receivers. I'm a big fan of a few of them. Mingo is a good one. I think Cedric Tillman's a good one.
T.J. Watt went 30th overall in 2017. To
absurd.
The he's going to the Hall of Fame.
Utterly absurd.
Good chance. So. Listen, you might have picked first, second, third, but you can get a Hall of Famer in the back end of the round. You can get a Hall of Famer in the second round. You can get a Hall of Famer at 199. Greg, remember? Remember that Tom Brady?
Can't wait to check out the Tom Brady pick. Day three. Always my favorite.
Mm-mm-mm. All right, that is it. So check out the stream. That's fun. Check out – well, you already checked this podcast out if you're listening. But also check out – our Saturday recap of the whole draft, including some winners and losers.
Won't be doing that one at 10:30 at night.
Thank you to everybody behind the scenes for making this ship go. Thank you to the listeners, the viewers. Heed the call.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring body wash and bar soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
Hey, have you ever used Cheapo Air?
For years, and I really like it. With Cheapo Air, you can book online, use their app, or even over the phone. They've got great prices on over 500 airlines and millions of accommodations. They're my go-to for travel planning. And if you join their Club Miles program, you can earn points to save on the cost of your travel. Book on the app, and you get double points.
Sounds like it's time I tried Cheapo Air.
Call Cheapo Air at 855-247-3279 or visit cheapoair.com/podcast.